You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle. Welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, September the 29th. How's it going?
Okay.
Hey, guess what happened to me in the McDonald's drive-thru this morning?
Well, that's not a fair question, because I know...
Because you know the answer. I got rear-ended by a girl in her early 20s.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, I'm getting my coffee. I get my coffee. I'm about to pull away, and bang. And I go, you gotta be kidding. So I pulled over, got out of my car. It's pouring rain. This girl's probably early 20s, maybe. And she's all shaken up, and I said, I guess you didn't see me here in a drive-through line of cars. Kind of annoying. So anyway, I got all her information because it was raining, and I said, well, I can't tell right now when it's wet if anything's happened. So it's dry and sunny outside now. There's a big mark on the bumper. I don't know. Is it worth causing this girl stress? I may not even have to deal with her, so I may just call our insurance company and say, damage on my bumper.
Yep.
What do we do? So there you go. That's I also went to Costco today, picked up Iron Man 2 on Blu-ray. You know what? I had a revelation about Costco today.
Oh, yeah?
Costco always smells like two things.
Uh-huh.
Muffins and tires.
And you, a lovely combination.
You walk into Costco and those are the two smells that hit you. And it's been like that since the very first Costco I ever walked into. Baked goods and tires. Kind of a weird combination.
I guess those are the two strongest smelling items.
Yeah. If you're going to head out on the road and you need a muffin, come here.
That's right.
So kind of said, well, let's jump right over. I guess we're in a hurry. Jump right over into Couch Entertainment News. Well, sad news this week. Gloria Stewart died, actress.
I heard that.
100 years old. If you don't, if you're a more contemporary kind of person and don't know too much about older actors, Gloria was in Titanic. She played the Rose, the old version of Rose.
Yeah.
And she just passed away on the 26th of September, which is very sad. She was in The Invisible Man, The Old Dark House, Kiss Before a Mirror, some great films, and she hadn't been in anything, really, and since those earlier films until Titanic in 1997, and she won. She was Oscar-nominated for Best Actress in that. Oldest person ever to be nominated for an Academy Award.
She didn't win, though, did she?
No.
No.
Chosen by People magazine as one of the 50 most beautiful people in the world in 1998. Interesting. Very interesting. So, very sad. Gloria Stewart has passed. What
she
else?
She said she was 100?
She was 100, yes.
I guess she was kind of due.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not like she was 30.
No. But it's still sad. It's sad when somebody goes, and especially somebody talented. Anywho, four stars from Tim Burton's previous films will once again be working for him on Frankenweenie. Frankenweenie, for anybody who doesn't know, is one of his early projects that he did before he started making films. It was a short film about a dog made from different dog parts. It's actually quite good. So it's based on his short film that he made when he was a student in 1984. And it's about a guy who brings his dog back to life after it's killed by a car. The film's going to be a feature length, and it's going to be stop motion animation. Winona Ryder will be in it, Martin Landau, Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara. Yeah, so a lot of famous people in that. Its script has been adapted, and the film is currently slated for a March 9th, 2012 release. So mark your calendar now. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, and you're not a big Tim Burton fan, so I'm not going to talk about him too much.
Well, all it reminds me of is, don't we have a book called something like that?
Frankenweenie? I don't know.
It's just about a dog whose mom makes him a Halloween costume that's a hot dog bun, and he's a wiener dog.
Weird.
But it's not called Franken, but it's like that same idea. Makes me think of it. Anyway.
Oh. The on-again, off-again planned film adaptation of science fiction author Orson Scott Card's science fiction novel Ender's Game seems to be on again at Odd Lot Entertainment. Filmmaker Gavin Hood, who directed X-Men Origins Wolverine, has apparently... Oh, I guess he wrote the script, sorry. Has apparently rewritten Card's most recent script and is developing the project as the director, so that's good. Story follows a child super soldier who plays a long simulation of Earth's fight against a race of alien insects. Yeah, Wolfgang Petersen was previously attached to helm the film, but withdrew in mid-2008. Reports came later the entire project had been scrapped in November of that year, November 2008. So it's coming back, seems to be revived, seems like it might actually happen. That's a book I've started to read a couple of times, and I never get through it, so I must start it again.
It can't be that good.
Well, it is good. It's just, yeah, I've hit it at some weird times in my life, I guess. Actor Ryan Reynolds is clearly quite busy. That's no surprise to anyone. And he's run into an impasse, which is forcing him to choose between two high-profile features. Reynolds is next set to film The Change-Up, followed by Safe House. After that, however, he's hit a scheduling issue, which is now likely to make him choose between Fox's X-Men spinoff Deadpool, and of course he played Deadpool in X-Men Wolverine, and Robert Schwentke's Undead Cop Tale, R.I.P.D. Cute. R.I.P.D. Nice. Huh. Reynolds tells media that it's obviously likely that Deadpool will both get made, Deadpool and R.I.P.D., but I think it would be more than likely that only one of them gets made with me. They're both movies I'm interested in, both movies that are in the fast-track development, but I never say I'm doing a movie until I break for lunch the first day. It's a nice one, because it's such a crapshoot, this industry. Reynolds' new film, Buried, opens in limited release this week as well, and that's, of course, it's no big surprise. He gets buried alive, and yeah. Reynolds said he had to overcome his serious claustrophobia to make the film. And yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm claustrophobic like you would not believe. The director Christopher Nolan has expressed a wish to take his mind-bending heist thriller Inception into the video game realm. British filmmaker says developing a video game based on the world of the film would allow him to explore ideas you can't fit into a feature. Like the film, though, it'll take some time. That's something we've been talking about and are looking at doing long-term in a couple of years, says Nolan. And I bet you got nothing to say about that one.
No.
Nope.
We
haven't seen Inception. We probably will. In case you're living under a rock, Iron Man 2 came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Scarlett Johansson is reportedly in talks with Marvel Studios to do a spin-off featuring her Iron Man 2 assassin character, Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. the Black Widow. Talking at the Iron Man 2 DVD press conference, Marvel head Kevin Feige said, "We've already started discussions with Scarlett about the idea of a solo movie and have begun putting together concepts, but the Avengers comes first." Johansson reprises her role as the Black Widow in the upcoming Avengers team-up project. Anything? Nothing.
I'm still not buying her in that role, so.
Really?
I guess they liked her.
Why not?
I don't know.
Too young?
I don't know.
Not Russian enough for you?
She just seemed really non... I don't know. Maybe really I need flat. To see it again.
Mm-hmm. Really flat in yes. a curvy sort of way.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chloe Moritz, who starred in Kick Bum and Let Me In, is attached to play the title role in a film adaptation of the Dark Horse comic, Ready, Emily the Strange, at Universal Pictures. Created in the early 90s by Rob Rieger, the character originally appeared on stickers and clothing before moving to comic books in 2005 to expand the brand. The film will serve as the origin story of the gothic and odd young lady who owns four mysterious cats. And we have an Emily the Strange that lives with us.
Yeah, and if the movie isn't too strange...
We might take her.
Yeah, it gets pretty, like, some of the stuff that they have out from her is...
A little dark. I don't think it's meant for kids, though, so...
No, too bad, though.
Kate Beckinsale has officially closed her deal to reprise her role as vampire heroine Celine in a fourth Underworld film at Screen Gems and Lakeshore Entertainment. Yay! Story details are unknown beyond the usual vampire werewolf tale, but it seems likely events will pick up from the end of 2006's Underworld Evolution. That's already 4 years ago? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. John Halvin? Something. Wrote the script, and J. Michael Straczynski, who is creator of Babylon 5, is polishing the script. Both a director and an actress to play Celine's daughter are currently being sought. Filming kicks off in March in Vancouver, Canada. Anything?
Uh-huh. Nope.
You like that series.
Running late on time.
Zack Snyder, Tony Scott, and Matt Reeves, and Jonathan Liebsman, and Duncan Jones have all been made the short list of contenders to direct the reboot of the Superman franchise at Warner Brothers Pictures. Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas are producing and essentially shepherding the new incarnation of the Man of Steel based on an idea of Nolan's, which David Goyer fleshed out into a full script. Nolan has reportedly already started meeting with candidates and will submit his choice to the studio within the next few weeks. And since you're saying we're short on time, moving right along.
I have to comment on that one because yes. I just find it so, so incredibly irritating.
Uh-oh.
I hope nobody goes to see that stupid movie. Why do they have to do another super... Why? Why?
There were too
many to start with. Why are they making another one? I think that's so dumb.
I don't know.
I don't care if some other dude reimagined it again. Reimagine is such a stupid word. I reimagined my breakfast and ate it over again because I didn't think it was good enough the first time.
Dogs do that all the time. Reimagine their breakfast.
I had to rant.
There you go. Taking us over, I guess, into where no mom has gone before. Talk to us.
Alrighty. Well, these were a very quick watch for us. We watched The Menagerie 1 and 2.
Part 1 and Part 2. The only two-part episode of the first season of the original series. There you go.
And basically what Mr. Gene did was take his pilot that they wouldn't accept the first time around and split it into two, add some little details around the edges, and make it a two-part.
Yeah, so basically set the premise that Captain Christopher Pike has been horribly scarred in an accident, and Spock wants to take him back to the planet where the pilot took place, Talos IV. And so he takes over the Enterprise, forces them to go to this planet, and lots of stuff, crazy stuff happens. But like Michelle said, basically it seems like Gene Roddenberry said, yeah, you don't like my pilot? Well, how about if I repurpose all the footage, cram it into an episode, and now you have to like it? So
yeah, and pretty much that's what the two episodes were, was the pilot. What they were doing is as they got closer to the planet, supposedly
the Talosians, the aliens on the planet,
were beaming footage from 13 years before.
Yeah, beaming recycled images
into the viewing room of the Star Trek Enterprise while Kirk and some other guy and Spock sat and watched it. So you see them sitting there watching.
Yeah, you're watching over their shoulders, watching this screen.
And then it, you know, moves in to fill the screen, and then you watch 13 minutes of the original pilot, and then they go back to a short scene with them, and then you go back and watch more footage from there. So basically that's what it was.
So what you're saying is you loved it.
Well, you know, it was fine. I always liked that pilot.
Yeah.
Well, always. Ever since I saw it a month ago.
Yeah.
And
it always became a part of me last week.
Yes. So, I mean, it was fine. It made watching it quick because we sort of just fast-forwarded through those parts because we'd seen it so recently. It was interesting that they... It was an interesting way to tie that character back in, though, I suppose. And it was smart of him to reuse the footage. I mean... It was perfectly good footage. Why not
repurpose it? Yep. The other thing, too, is that for a lot of Star Trek fans, that character, Christopher Pike, is a pretty central figure of Star Trek mythology. So much so that when J.J. Abrams made his film, Chris Pike is in the film, the character, and again transitions to Kirk as the captain. So
right.
It's an important piece of Star Trek lore.
Yes.
The Star Trek meme, if you will.
Yes.
So, instead of watching movies this week, we actually ended up watching some of the new shows. It's new show season, and most of it started last week. So we added three, actually, to our roster and have been watched the first episode of one of them. Yeah. Anyway. So, Undercovers, new TV series created by J.J. Abrams. Talk about it. What do you think?
Well, I liked it.
What I like about it is it's got a lot of what worked in Alias. So it's got that flavor of everyday person becomes heroic secret agent.
Right.
But
in this case, they were sleeper agent. Well, not sleeper. Retired agents brought back into service.
Reactivated.
Yeah, but they're a married couple, and so that adds a new dimension to it. And they've never worked together before, and now they are. And it was really very well done.
It's got it's also got a flavor of True Lies to it, which I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. I mean, there's a lot of strong comedy writing around the edges. The leads are fantastic. They're they're just really
and easy really, on the eyes.
Yeah, very charismatic, very cute people. So there you go. It just started. It's a Bad Robot production, which is J.J. Abrams' company. He wrote and directed the pilot as well as creating the series. And also his composer partner, Michael Giacchino, composed the music for the first episode. Now, I'm betting, with all their feature work and other projects, Michael Giacchino and J.J. Abrams will not always be involved at the level of the pilot, but I'm hoping that they both kind of keep their hands in things and we feel their influence all along, because that's, to me, that's what made it work. These guys work great together.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that the rest of the show lives up to what the pilot promised.
Yep. So it's brand new, and you know, we'll touch on some of these shows in future weeks as we as we keep doing the
show. Airs on what, Monday nights? No. Tuesday night? Wednesday night?
I don't know. It airs on NBC one night of the week.
We should Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, I believe it is Wednesday, I think. So another one. Here's a reimagining. There you go. How do you feel about that? Hawaii Five-O is back. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. So Hawaii Five-O, the original series, ran 12 seasons. I was surprised by that.
Wow.
And 279 episodes. Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
So,
and I never saw one of them, ever.
That's funny.
That I can remember anyway.
So, of course...
what years was it on?
September 68 to... Yeah, 68 to 80. Holy smokes.
Wow. I must have seen one
or
two.
It was still,
I honestly don't remember
it. It was still airing while you were watching TV. So it's about a special police team on the island of Hawaii, and yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know. It's a cool cop show, and this new version has actors Alex O'Loughlin, Scott Kahn, who is James Kahn's son, Daniel Day-Kim, of course, from Lost, and Grace Park from Battlestar Galactica.
Really, really good cast, actually.
Yeah, the cast is great. What really impressed me about this is at the end, the very last scene of the first episode from last week, there was just a really strong chemistry between the characters, which comes from a good chemistry between the actors, in my opinion. So, and it felt like, it didn't feel like a first episode. It felt like we knew these characters, and to me, that's great writing and great acting.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good humor in it.
It's slick. It's fun. It's got lots of action. It, you know, it's got some really kick butt elements. He's, the main character's pretty much got. He gets to put this team together. He's got immunity. He's got pretty much all the money he needs to work with. Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, who have worked with J.J. Abrams a lot, speaking of J.J. Abrams, are very much involved in this show as well. So they executive produce, and they also have done some writing for it. So you can feel that same, you know, what worked in the new Star Trek film. You can just feel it's fun, it's energized, it's a new take on something that's familiar. So they've done right by the fans of the original series, but then they've created something new that people who don't know the original series will like, and people who know it can live with. So,
yes.
But there's no Jack Lord's hair in it. Jack Lord's hair, which is also there's also a band called Jack Lord's Hair, I think, too. There's Jack Lord. I'm just showing Michelle a picture of Jack Lord. There you go. Lord.
They're good looking enough without needing the hair.
So it's just really fun. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good play between O'Loughlin and Kahn. A lot of good character work, and they play off each other really well.
Yes.
And like I said, the chemistry among the four leads is just rock solid. It's I just hope that the wave it built off the first episode just continues throughout the series, and we have it for 12 seasons. Why not?
Yep.
Okay. Now that leaves us with the event.
And that is on Monday nights, and we have not watched last night's episode yet.
No, we have not. That leaves us with the event, which I was all prepared to call the non-event. The premiere episode had a plane crashing in it, and I thought, okay, Lost leaves, and that's the, you know, Lost wraps up, and that's the best someone can come up with. You know, there's mysterious organizations, there's government conspiracy, there's all this other stuff. And I just thought, yeah, you know, we've seen it before. And then there's all this kind of contrived, font comes up on the screen, lettering comes up on the screen in every new scene practically and says, 4 minutes ago, 10 months ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 days ago, you know. And
years ago.
And it just felt really contrived. And I thought, you know what, I'm out. I'm so out of this series. But it airs Monday nights. We already watched episode 2, and... to me, they pulled out of a bit of a nosedive. It.
We haven't written it off yet.
No, Jason Ritter, who is, of course, John Ritter's son, is the star. I wasn't crazy about him in the first episode, but he does some really good work in the second episode. And we, like Michelle says, we haven't written it off yet. We're going to ride it out a few episodes and see how it goes.
I can only swallow so much, you know what.
Yeah.
And so, like Lost.
So much poo-poo?
If it continues, it'll be so history.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, too, we've also got, of course, everyone knows, we are Bones fans, CSI Vegas, CSI New York.
See, you know,
Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy.
I just had a moment about those other crime shows.
Yep.
They wrap up each storyline at the end of each thing. So it's not this ongoing, who's this person and who's this other thing? And now we're in jail, but we're actually in a zoo. And it's so retarded.
Which you may recognize from Lost, by the way.
So,
that was when Michelle tapped out on Lost. We're on an island. There's these weird people wearing burlap, and now we're in a zoo.
Yeah,
Michelle was out. She was gone.
I could take the polar bears and the whatever else.
And the smoke monster.
Until they ended up in a zoo, and I was like, forget it.
Yeah.
This is just getting really stupid now.
And I keep telling her, it picked up so nicely after that, and she really needs to go back.
I just can't.
Oh, dear.
You know, and that's the thing. And the same thing with the X-Files. That drove me crazy, too.
Yeah.
If they don't start answering some questions...
Yeah.
You've totally lost me. I don't even care anymore. Forget it.
No, and let me insert at this juncture too. Michelle is not a big fan of plots that carry through multiple seasons or even one full season. She's not into that. Give her the bite-sized candy bar and she's done.
Yeah.
Also not a fan of who's that? Is he bad? Is she bad? Or they bad?
Yes.
Who's bad? Because I'm bad. Michael Jackson's bad. What's that bad smell?
I need to know who the good guys are.
Muffins and tires.
And they can't turn out to be bad too often or I'm not interested anymore.
You know what? From now on, when anything confuses me, I'm just going to say, you know what? Muffins and tires. Muffins and tires to you, sir.
Yes. Good plan.
Oh, gosh. So, short and sweet. That's what we're all about. Speaking of bite-sized candy, this is the bite-sized candy episode of View from the Couch.
It's like M&M's.
It melts in your mouth, not in your hand?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make... We don't make a mess. We're clean.
We're clean.
We're in, we're out.
Michelle goes on the
paper. Move on with your day.
Michelle goes on the paper. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks. And we'll be back with some more stuff. Who knows what next week. You know what? It's always like you get on a train and you go, where is this going? I don't know. I just hope it doesn't crash. So that is our goal, to not crash in... with you every week. So,
yeah.
And I think we're doing okay after, what is it, like 3 years now? We've been doing it 15 years and we're still locked in these cages. It's like we're in a zoo. And you smell like muffins and tires. Okay, so have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your weekend and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.